You know, as I was preparing this sermon, so many titles came to my mind. One title was Reset. You know, as we get, you know, we always have New Year's resolutions and we're going to do better this year. So one title was Reset. Another title was Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself. And these are actual sermons I'm going to do in 2020, if the Lord say the same. But these are some of the titles that came into my mind. Then another one was, I think, was Think Outside of the Box or something of that nature. But I couldn't get away from 2020. And when you think of 2020, it's the beginning of a new decade, number one. But 2020 is perfect vision. Only 35% of the 7.7 billion people on the face of the earth have 2020 vision. And if you break that down, that's 1.5 billion people out of 7 billion people can see clearly out of both eyes. So I came up with the title 2020 Vision. Now, when I say 2020 vision, I'm not talking about the vision for our church, or I'm not talking about your personal vision that you may have for your career or your job. What I'm speaking of is, how do you see life? How do you see life? I don't care how saved you are. You will face the same issues as the unsaved person faces. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Now that has two different meanings. Rain in the Bible can also mean prosperity, but rain also means dark times. See, you can have dark times just because you have Jesus, just because you have the Holy Ghost residing in you, doesn't mean you won't face hard times. It doesn't mean you won't suffer loss. It doesn't mean you won't face death. But the blessing is you face life's darkest moment with Jesus Christ. And the Bible declares that Jesus has authority over both life and death. So we can proclaim, even if we do cross the precipice of death, we can say, oh death, where is thy victory? Oh grave, where is thy sting? So just because we will face the same issues of life, because we all live on this earth, doesn't negate the fact that we can face it with a smile. We can face it with joy. We can face it with peace, because we know the Prince of Peace. And I want to encourage us, as we go into 2020, peace be unto you. Go in peace, work in peace, be merry in peace. Raise your children in peace, because you have everything that you need inside of you based on the authority of God's written word to be victorious in 2020. Are you with me? Y'all doing all right out there? Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. God is good. No matter what we go through, God is still good. And he's still God. Amen. Before we get into our main text, let's look at Psalms 24. Psalms 24. As we get into 2020 vision. And if you don't remember nothing tonight in 2019, remember this verse. Verse 1 says, the earth, let the church say earth, is whose? Okay, notice, the earth is not your supervisors. The earth is not your manager. Your earth is not your mom or dad's. The earth belongs to the who? The Lord. Catch this. It doesn't stop there. And some of what it contains. All that it contains. Uh-oh. The what? World. And those who dwell in it. Okay, notice you see the word earth, then you see world. The earth is the terrestrial, the physical, geographical place in which we plant our feet on every day. But the world Okay, it's also talking about planet Earth, but those who are saved and those who are not saved, you all belong to God in the sense of creation. But you must be his child through being reborn. Are you with me? This is why God can use whomever he wills to carry out his will. Are you with me? Verse 2. For he, talking about God, has founded, meaning he's begun it, what is the it? The world, the earth, upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Keep going. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? Next verse. Listen to this. In 2020, this should be all of our desire right here. He who has dirty hands, he who has clean hands and a trifling heart, a pure heart. Now, I want to offer a caveat about having a pure heart. When you have a pure heart, meaning if you have pure motives in the decisions that you make, you're going to get heartbroken. Be prepared for it now. When you have a pure heart, you're going to get disrespected. When you have a pure heart, you're going to get betrayed. When you have a pure heart, you're going to get talked about like a nasty born dog. When you have a pure heart, you will be underestimated and underexpected. When you have a pure heart, people are going to misunderstand you, and they're going to put you in a category that's beneath their feet when you have a pure heart. So I want you to understand that although we want to have a pure heart, there's a cost that comes with that. He said, he who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. We're going to allow that just to ruminate in our minds. And I want us to turn to the message for tonight, which is in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13 is a very familiar passage. I've preached this many times before, but it's one of my favorite passages. And I normally don't do this, but I'm going to give you all three points before we even start reading. Is that okay? Is anybody with me tonight? Are you taking notes? Mental notes? If not, that's okay. Some of you are trying to stay awake. Hopefully I won't bore you. The word won't bore you. Amen. Because I want to free some people up tonight before we go into 2020. There are three things that I want us to understand from this sermon. And the first one is we must develop a 2020 vision of Almighty God. That's the first point. The second point is we must develop a 2020 vision of how we view ourselves. Oh, this is going to be a good one. And number three, we must develop a 2020 vision of how others view us. They're the three points. So we're going to go through that as we look at the text. Are you ready? Put your seatbelts on, because we're about to take a bumpy ride. I'm about to take you through your childhood. I'm about to take you to that great aunt at the cookout that caused you to have low self-esteem and self-concept and self-efficacy. I'm about to expose some faulty self-beliefs about ourselves from people that should have built us up, but they tore us down. Can anybody stand to be blessed tonight from the word? Let's get into the word. I'm going to read this, verse 1, and it reads, "Now behold, there came a man of God." Let the church say man of God. Now, before we even go and delve into this text, I want to identify the main character of this text. He was not a man of sin. He was not an unbeliever. He was a man of God. Are you with me? That means that he feared God. He loved God. He trusted God. He served God. Therefore, he was called a man of what? Of God. There came a man of God from Judah to Bethel, by the word of who? The Lord. While Jeroboam was standing by the altar of burnt incense, he cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Then he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now when the king, let the church say king, heard the saying of the who? Man of God. Keep that in your mind, man of God. Which he cried against the altar of Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar saying, seize him. But his hand, which he stretched out against him, what? Dried up. So that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar. According to the sign which the who? Man of God had given by the word of who? The Lord. The king said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the same people who try to attack you, when the plan blows up in their face, they want to befriend you? Isn't it ironic how the same people that will talk you down like a dog when things happen in their life, and when things turn upside down in their life, they want you to pray for them? We have the man of God giving the word of God. The king didn't like what he heard. He got troubled by it and said, you know what? Arrest this man. But see, when the man was walking with God, nobody can touch you unless God says so. So God says, you want him arrested, but I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to physically arrest the movement of your elbow to pull your hand back. So your hand is going to be paralyzed while you're trying to stop my word from going forth. So now he's changing it up. See, be very careful when people switch up on you so fast. Sometimes people have an ulterior motive that you don't know about. Let me say this. Don't throw stones at me. I'm going to say something. I'm going to use a sports example. But I want you to think about this because it's going to make sense in 2020. Just because somebody doesn't like the Redskins doesn't mean they're automatically a Cowboys fan. See, sometimes we don't take time to wait a situation out and let it play out. So if you have an issue with a certain situation, and somebody comes alongside of you and say, you know what? I don't like that situation either. It doesn't mean they like you. It doesn't mean they're on your team. Y'all just have a similar enemy. Is anybody with me? He says, please entreat me, entreat the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was what? Restored to him, and it became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, come home with me. Oh, he's opening up his house to him and everything. Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, I want y'all to listen to this. If you were to give me half your kingdom, or half your house, I would not go with you. Nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded to me by the word of God, saying, you shall eat no bread and drink water, nor drink water, nor return the way in which you came. So he went another way and did not turn the way he came. Good job for the man of God. We have the man of God. He does exactly what the Lord tells him to do, and he's obedient to God. Sounds good, right? But let me explain something to us, saints. Just because you love the Lord doesn't mean you can't have naivety. Let me say that again. Just because you love Jesus has nothing to do with you being naive. This is why we must have a balanced approach. The Bible says in Ephesians, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Just because you will have a lot of people that will say, y'all are good church going folks. So we're going to come in and try to scheme y'all, scam y'all, and y'all don't have any witness about you. This was a legitimate man of God, but he was still naive and immature. That'll set in when you leave. So the first point was, during this time when the man of God had a 20/20 vision of who Almighty God was, things worked in his favor. But let's look at the mistake he made. The second point is, he did not have a 20/20 vision of himself. You know, one of the gravest mistakes that we make in the house of God is that we put ourselves down too easily and too quickly. We take the word humble and we misinterpret it. We take the word humble and feel that that's a doorway to bash and beat people down. We take the word humble and misappropriate the word and say, you can't talk about how good God's been to you. You can't speak up and give a testimony because you have to remain humble. And if you don't know who you are, if you don't know the value that you have, you will settle, you will submit, you will buy any type of jive that comes your way. And don't let anybody put you on a guilt trip and say, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're not supposed to have high self-esteem, because that's arrogance. No, there's a difference between arrogance and high self-worth. I have two daughters, and I'm teaching my daughters early. Don't just latch on to any trifling looking boy. I don't care how curly his hair is. I don't care how tight his edge up is. I don't care how sweet his cologne smells. I don't care if he got on a Gucci belt, the flyest phone, the nicest car. He could be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I tell my daughters all the time, no one can hurt a woman worse than a man. Oh, y'all quiet in here. Come on, ladies, help me out. Help me. I know you got a good man, so I'm not talking about you. But no one can mess up a woman's head, a woman's future, than a trifling man. A smooth talking man, a slickster man. See, that's why I tell my daughters it takes a dog to see a dog's tendencies. And every man got some dog in him. Not bad dog. Because, oh, y'all, no, listen to me. Listen to me. Let me hurry up and fix this. Let me hurry up and fix this. Come on, brothers, help me out. This is what I'm saying. Oh, you know what? That helped wake y'all up. That helped wake y'all up. Let me say this. A man knows how a man thinks. That's all I'm saying. So even though he come to church, put a Bible in his hand and all these different type of things, you know at the end of the day, he's a red-blooded man. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost leading his feelings and his emotions, he may want certain things that it's not time for. Amen? So my thing is that we have to be very careful about being naive. The man of God had all that checked off, but he was still naive on how people can slick talk him. Let's look at this. What verse did we stop on? Verse 10. Verse 10 reads, so he went another way and did not return by way of which he came to Bethel. Now catch this. Verse 11. Now, let the church say now. Now an old prophet, another believer, was living in Bethel. And his sons came and told him of the deeds which the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken to the king, these also were related to their father. Their father said to them, which way did he go? Now his sons had seen the way which the man of God had came from Judah had gone. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God. See, just because somebody's chasing you down doesn't mean they have your best interest at heart. Don't confuse a chase with a call. That'll hit you on the way out. I know it's late. We'll get through this together. Amen. It says, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him and rode on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. Sounds familiar? Did not King Jeroboam make the same exact statement? Hey, you healed my hand. Won't you come back to the castle, come back to the palace, and let's eat and break bread together? But just because you hit a home run the first inning doesn't mean you won't strike out on the second. He knocked that out the park when King Jeroboam invited him into the house. But then when this other believer came to him, he let his guard down. And he said, come with me and eat bread. He says, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. Man of God is doing pretty good. Amen. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord. You shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by the way you're going, which you came. Listen to this. And I want to say something that's a part of fallen human nature. In 2020, you better start believing in yourself. Of course, believe in God first, but you need to believe in yourself. And whatever principles that you have a right to have for yourself, you better stand 10 toes on those principles, because you're going to get challenged. And you're going to get challenged by some good people. Y'all walking with me? This prophet wasn't an evil man. But sometimes good is not God. Let me say that again. Sometimes good is not God. This guy wanted to break bread with this man of God because he wanted to be around somebody who was in the field, who would remind him of his old war stories, his old days serving the Lord. But it wasn't what God told the man of God to do. All of us are on a different path, saints. And sometimes good-meaning people can set us up for the worst part of life. If you're not sure of yourself. And let me tell you something. There's an audience of one, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't buckle under that pressure. Are you with me? Is it making sense? Let's see what the man of God did. We know he had a good view of who God was in the first 10 verses, but this is where he messed up, saints. Let's see what the old prophet said. He said, I am also a prophet like you. Be careful when people compare themselves. I'm just like you. I go through the same stuff you go through. So that gives me a right to tell you what you need to do. Be careful, because people would do that. Good people. But good people is not God. Are you with me? Let's look at the dialogue. He says, I'm a prophet just like you. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. Now let's see what the first mistake this guy made. The man of God received revelation directly from who? This guy says, I heard from an angel. Now, the man of God should have been able to pick up that clue right then and there. Why would an inferior being overrule what the Almighty God told me to do directly? Y'all walking with me? Whatever you do, whether it's ministry, whatever your career is in 2020, make sure God is the one that told you. Good people can give you good advice. They can give you good counsel. They can give you good wisdom. But don't make a move until you know God told you to do it. And many people have lost their families because they thought off of an emotional feeling and an emotional high, hey, I'm going to take on this whole thing. And then in 5 years, they crash. Because it may not have been God that told them to do it. Is anybody walking with me? He said, I'm also a prophet like you. And the angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat and drink water. But the Bible says he lied to him. Sometimes good people will lie to you. It's not always bad people that lie to us. If somebody has an agenda you don't know about, they're always going to lean towards making sure that agenda is met. Y'all walking with me? They'll never tell you what their real agenda is. So they will craft every conversation. They will craft every dialogue with you to make sure you stir towards that particular agenda. But if you don't have value of yourself, if you don't know that you know what God has told you, you'll fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. And this is the warning I want to give all of us. Make sure God told you to do it. Amen. Here we see. Now catch this. Verse 20 says, now it came about as they were sitting down at the where? That the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. Wow. God is actually using the guy that lied to him to give him his message. Because God's view is greater than anybody's view. Okay? Catch this. So now he disobeyed God because he exalted the prophet's view of him over his view of self, and he fell for it. Now look at the consequences and the cost. He said, the Lord cried to the man, and he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, because you have what? Disobeyed the command of your parent. Disobeyed the command of your supervisor. Disobeyed the command of your spouse. No, it says the Lord, and have not observed the commandment which who? The Lord your God commanded you. But have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in the place which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body shall not come to the graves of your fathers. I want y'all to understand how significant this is. Imagine, all of us know what a grave plot is, right? And a lot of big families have grave sites in certain cemeteries. Amen. Now imagine you already paid your grave plot off. And you want to be buried next to your kinfolk. And because of one decision that was rooted in naivety, because you valued how somebody else viewed you over how you viewed yourself, kept you from being buried with your kinfolk. That's heavy. He says, listen. He said, you will not be buried with your fathers. That's heartbreaking, isn't it? It says, and it came about after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him. And it says, Now he had gone, verse 24, and a what? A lion met him on the way and barked at him, scratched him, ran past him, killed him. And his body was laid gently. Lord have mercy. Thrown on the road with the donkey standing beside it. The lion also was standing beside the body. And behold, men, listen, to, if you don't hear nothing I say, saints, please, I hope you're getting this. Look what happened because this guy allowed other people to control his life. Look what happened because he put what somebody else thought about him above how he viewed himself. Look at the cost that he had to pay. It says, people that pass by. Y'all see that? It says, the men passed by and saw the body thrown on the road and the lion standing beside the body. So they came and told it to the city where the old prophet lived. Now, when the prophet had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who disobeyed the command of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord had given him the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. Now, ain't this some mess? I know it's bad English, but I'm trying to be emphatic here. Isn't that something? You mean to tell me the very people that will push you off the ledge and have you making decisions that you're not even confident about, after you break your face wide open and fall and crash, be the same people that said, well, I didn't know he was really going through that much. Y'all not walking with me. This guy is, now he's super prophet now. He's saying, yep, the lion killed him just as the Lord said he would. But it was your fault, man, for persuading him to come back to Bethel when he told you he wasn't supposed to. People will switch on you, won't they? Listen to this. He says, so he went and found his body thrown on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. The lion had not eaten the body nor torn the donkey. So the prophet took the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back. And he came to the city of the old prophet and mourned to bury him. He laid his body in his own grave and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. After he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, when I die, bury me in the grave which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones, for the thing shall surely come to pass, which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar of Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria. And as I close out, I want to hit this point home. You don't have to die for people to see the truth. You with me? This prophet died prematurely and he died unnecessarily. Y'all with me? Some of us, because I want, Steve, if you could put the diagrams up, if you have them, I want us to see something. Can everyone see the screens? Now, let's see the mistake that the man of God made. And this is how a lot of us are in 2020. I mean, in 2019. Notice under the man of God, what's at the top? Other people's view of us. How many of us move and jump through windows because somebody told us to? Because they made us feel so anxious that we hurt ourselves trying to please them. Don't do it in 2020. I beseech you, it will kill you. Protect yourself. Protect your sanity. Protect your health. But when you have the same mistaken view as the man of God had, notice, he still was a man of God. I'm not going to take that from him. But you can be a godly person and still be naive. And it's not the godliness that sets you up for failure. It's the naivety that sets you up for failure. Are you with me? What's the second level? His view of self. Now, I want to say this. Whatever you put at the top is automatically going to influence how you view yourself. Y'all walking with me? So because, oh man, I hope somebody's getting this. I know I'm getting it. Whoever, if you're top heavy with the way other people see you and how they're going to view you, it's automatically going to control how you view yourself. And I got news for you. No one is going to look at you as being superior to them. They're always going to look at you from a deficit. Let me help somebody again. Nobody is going to say you're better than them. Nobody is going to say you're smarter or you're more deserving than me. So my question is, in 2019, do you look like the man of God? Will you put everybody else's wishes above your own? You put everybody's desires over your own? And look what God is. Where's God's view? It's at the bottom, right? And you notice this is shaped like a funnel. So look how big other people's view was above God's view. Y'all see it? Y'all see it now? And many of us have been living 20, 30, 40 years with this type of dynamic. And we keep wondering why we keep getting hurt. We keep wondering why we keep losing. We keep wondering why we keep getting sick. This is why. You put everybody else's emergency and you make it your crisis. Don't do it. Don't do it, because you may be cutting off your lifespan. Is anybody with me? Let's look at the correct view. Who's at the top? God's view of us. Now you may say, Dr. Riggs, what does that have to do with tea in China? Excuse me. Notice how big God's view is. God is the king of the whole universe. The earth is the Lord's. Didn't we start out the sermon like that? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Many of us have been coming to church for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, Sister Tracy. And we've had God at the bottom the whole time. And I'm here to free us up tonight. Put God at the top. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what God's view is. God says that you're more than conquerors through him that loves you. That's what God's view is. You're a conqueror, but you're more than a conqueror. First of all, let's break down what a conqueror is. A conqueror is an army soldier of the enemy camp. And a conqueror goes into someone else's territory that doesn't belong to him or her. And a conqueror fights a valiant battle. And a conqueror takes over the battle. And they change the territory that they just acquired to match their view of how life is. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what God's view of you is. You are a new creature in Christ. You may have made mistakes in your past. You may have sinned a lot in your past. You may have been a drug addict. You may have been anything that you shouldn't have been. But God's view of you is the most important. Not the people you used to drink with. Not the people you used to shoot up with. Not the people you used to do all kind of bad things with. Understand, when you become a new creature in Christ, this is the way you should view your life. And I guarantee you, if you connect how you view yourself with how God views you, you will break down barriers. You will break curses. You will become a powerhouse for God. Now notice what's at the bottom on this view. What's at the bottom on the correct view? Can I talk? Some of us, can we go back to childhood? Some of us are still shackled now because of the pain of our childhood. Some of us don't try new things because we hear our parents' voices in our heads. We hear our grandparents' voices in our heads. And you allow other people's limitations to become the lid which you conveniently place over your head. So you keep waking up with headaches because you keep hitting the lid. And I want to tell you, in 2020, take the lid off. God didn't put the lid there. I want to expose that it was the limitation of other people's views of us that keeps us shackled, keeps us trapped, and it keeps us from being our best selves. Is this helping anybody tonight? You know, when I think about other people's views, y'all know I got to use some biblical examples. Is that all right? We have some time. I'm reminded of my favorite character, Joseph. Joseph had a big view of God. And God gave him a dream at 17 years old. And he went to his brothers. He had quite a few brothers. And how many of us know that when you're a teenager, things don't come out as clean as they should? Because you're adolescent, you're still a juvenile. The human brain doesn't start developing until 24 years old, the frontal lobe of the brain. So he's 17. So he has 7 more years to mature. So he goes to his brothers. He said, "Hey, man, I had a dream." They said, "What you want, man?" He said, "I dreamed that I'm going to rule over all y'all." Now, that didn't come out right. That didn't come out right. I got to give it to her. I can see why the brothers were mad. But they took it to another level. The Bible says they beat him up. They jumped him. Then they took the coat of many colors that his father gave him. Then they threw him into a pit. And then they sold him into slavery. I would like to say that sometimes your own family members have sold you into a slavery that you're now enslaved to right now. Is anybody with me? So Joseph maintained his view of God even though he was in prison for over 13 years. And the Bible says Joseph had a gift. What was his gift? He was able to interpret dreams. And Proverbs says a man's gift will make room for him. Oh, y'all not walking with me tonight. Your gift will make room for you. But you got to know that God has given each and every one of you a gift and a talent. But sometimes people close to you can snuff it out because they can't see your life 2020. So catch this. He goes to jail. There's a baker and there's a cupbearer. And both of these guys have a dream. So the baker comes to him and say, "Hey, man, I had a dream that I had a basket on my head and the birds came and picked the fruit out of the bread out of the basket." What does that mean, Joseph? Because Joseph had a God perspective and he had a belief in his own abilities. Amen. He said, "In 3 days, your head going to be lifted off of your body." Now, that's not the best news you want to hear. But that was still the truth. See, how many of us know the truth hurts? But that was the truth. So basically, in 3 days, the guy's head was lifted off of his body. He was hung. He decapitated. So then the cupbearer comes. He said, "Joseph, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was restored to my previous position as cupbearer." And Joseph said, "In 3 days, you can be restored to your position." But this is what he said. He said, "Remember me." remember me. You know what that shows us? Joseph said, I love myself too much to rot in this jail. So I'm going to take this gift that makes room for me as an opportunity to get out of my prison. Many of us right now sitting in church, we have jobs, you're driving a nice car, you live in a nice neighborhood, but you're still in a prison. You're still in a prison. So that's Joseph's situation, and we know what happened. Pharaoh had a dream, and he interpreted the dream, and that gift that he had, because he put God first, got him out of prison. He became second in command of Egypt. But the second person I want to talk about is David. You ever heard of David? King David? I use a familiar story that the kids talk about all the time, and it's David and Goliath. Everybody talks about David and Goliath, but nobody talks about his brothers. Before David got on the battlefield to fight his giant, he had to first fight his brothers. Oh, man, y'all ain't walking with me. The Bible says Jesse sent David, because his brothers, Eliab and the other guys, they were much older than David. David was the youngest. And they were fighting in Saul's army. Are you with me? They were fighting in Saul's army, and David's job was not just to play music to soothe Saul's ears, but his job was to carry food to the soldiers. So David, because he knew who God was, and because he knew his own abilities, he's carrying food to his brothers. And his brothers say, what do you want now? Like, go back home, man. We out here fighting, doing the real job. We fighting. But David, while he's feeding his brothers, overhears this giant blaspheming God. And the first thing David says is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who taunts the armies of God? Don't you know, saints, in 2020, there's an army of God behind you? Don't you understand that every time you get up, every time you drive, every time you go to sleep, every time you go to work, there's an army of angels around you? But God won't make himself known to you unless you want to see him. When you truly want to see God, you'll realize he's been there the whole time. Because he never leaves us or forsakes us. So David goes up to the giant. And the giant said, you send a little boy out here to do a man's job. Now, Goliath was 9'9". Okay, tall as this wall. He was 9'9". And the whole army was scared of him. But David was connected to God. And in many cases, you will oftentimes finding yourself facing giants in life. But it's okay. Because when you face the giants in life, think about whose perspective you're walking in. Are you walking in other people's view of you, or are you walking in God's view of you? It's an audience of one. If you don't remember nothing in 2020, it's an audience of one. So if you got to stand and do a public speaking engagement, it's an audience of one. I'm not looking at the crowd. I'm nervous. You know, it's hard for me to speak in front of a bunch of people and different facial expressions, and people are looking at their watches and all these different things. I still have to preach this, but I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to Christ. Because he is the one who blessed me. He's the one who sustains me. He's the one that's going to open doors that y'all can't open. He's the one that's going to close doors that y'all can't shut. He's the one that's going to lift up things y'all can't lift. He's the one that's going to promote that y'all can't promote. So it's not about y'all. It's about Christ. Because he's the audience of one who I'm preaching to at night. So you can frown at me all you want. You can roll your eyes all you want. It's not about you. Because I stop acting like the old prophet and looking at your perspective of me, and I've elevated God's perspective of me over your perspective of me, now that I know that God is bigger than you, because you don't own nothing, but he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills, he owns the sea, he owns the fish, he owns the river, he owns the air that we breathe. You don't own nothing. So why am I going to keep subjecting myself to a limited view of me, because that's where you put me yet in your book? I'm no longer going to be controlled by man. I don't care who you are. I'm no longer going to be controlled how you feel about me. What you think I should do and what I shouldn't do. Because you didn't wake me up this morning. And I believe in myself enough. I have a right. You have a right. If you don't get nothing, you have a right in 2020 to believe in yourself. Stop waiting for somebody else to validate you. Stop waiting for somebody else to confirm something in your life. God has spoken already. That's all you need. Forget people's faces. Forget people's opinions because they mean nothing. They mean nothing. This old prophet had his opinion and it cost the man of God his life. Because of opinion. If you know you're doing what God told you to do, you stick with that. And let God tell you stop doing it. Let God tell you switch it up. Let God tell you to shift. But don't be pressured by other people. I know I'm talking to somebody tonight. I want to free some people up. Let me tell you something. We are all like computers. Raise your hand if you have a cell phone. Everybody. So you really have a computer. Amen. And computers run off of software. How many of you have apps on your phone? Okay. How many of you have apps on your phone that you had to download? You go to Google Play Store, Apple Store, or Samsung Store, get those apps, right? But there's a button on the app. If you press the app long enough, a new window comes up and it says, remove app. You see, too long you've been running some old software in your life that other people have put on your phone called life. But I want to free you up that you can remove that app. Because when you have so many of the wrong apps running in the background, it causes your battery to run faster than it should. And many of us are going through life gasping for air, figuring out why my life keeps crashing. It might be because you got too many apps in the background that were put on there from your birth. But you can't get mad at the people who put the app up there. They did the best they could. If you're grown and got your own mind, it's your responsibility to remove those apps. And you'll find that when you clean up those apps that run in the background, you'll find that your screen is much brighter. You'll find that you'll be able to surf the web a little bit faster and with more efficiency. You'll find that you get a better signal from the tower. See, when you take the apps of limitation off of you, there's a tower called heaven, and there's a signal that it gives, and there's no dead spots when it comes to God's apps. And when you clear these false apps out, when you clear these old apps out that are running in the background and that have programmed you to think the way you think, move the way you move, act the way you act, you'll realize that you'll have a better frequency from heaven. And you'll find that you got better performance. You'll find that your battery lasts a little bit longer. And you'll realize that you won't drop so many calls that you used to drop. See, opportunity calls us, but they keep dropping because you got bad apps. Y'all not walking with me. I'm trying to burn the clock down, y'all. Y'all pray for me. Y'all doing all right out there? I love everybody in here. And you love me. I know you love me. I know you do. But don't love me so much that my limited view of what God is doing in your life destroys you. The man of God didn't have a second chance to get it right. He died. And I want to encourage us. A lot of your dreams have died because you didn't put God as number one. You put how other people They might talk about me. How am I going to look? What are they going to say? What if I offend them? What if they don't speak to me anymore? Some people, it's good they don't speak to you anymore. Because you're only speaking poison into my life. So that might be a blessing in disguise. Right? But we have been so cultured, we have been so programmed by old programming to, you have to like me and love me for me to feel good about myself. No. The devil is a lie and the truth ain't in him. It's all about vision. You have to see yourself clearly. As we close, there's another part I forgot to tell you about, and that is everybody didn't make it to 2020. Let me tell you something about death. It comes from all of us. I don't care how righteous you are. I don't care how much sin you have in your body. You can be full of sin. Death comes from the sinner just like it comes from the saint. We all know that to be true, right? We've all been to funerals, amen? Everybody's going to die. That's just the God-honest truth. Everybody's going to die. I'm going to die one day. You're going to die one day. But while you have life, make sure you see God for who he really is. And let me tell you who God really is. He's not just a God of love. He's a judge. See, the world wants you to think that God is just love. They want you to think that God just allows you to do whatever you want. You just keep messing up, keep messing up, keep messing up. And there are no consequences because God is love. But the Bible says he's a fiery judge. The Bible says there's a place called hell. And this place is real. You know what God showed me as I was studying this? This is going to sound awful, but it's the truth. How many of you want to hear the truth? Or you want to hear popcorn? People have a right to go to hell. Y'all heard what I said? Y'all want me to sugarcoat it? You have a right to go to hell. Because one thing God chooses not to interfere with is a person's free will. You have the inalienable right to go to hell. So when we give you the gospel and we tell you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we say that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life, you have a right to deny it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not. You have a right. One thing we say in schools, and I don't fully agree with it, but it's honest. A lot of teachers get mad because kids go to sleep in class and they're failing. And you know what we tell them as administrators? You know he has a right to fail. Now that don't sound, that goes against our programming. Like, no, you don't tell a student they have a right to fail. No, we don't tell you that, but that's the reality of it. If you want to come to class and cut class and skip class and cuss the teacher out and not come for 5 days and you're truant, you have a right to fail. Now, what you don't have a right to do is interrupt these other kids trying to learn. That's where we're going to put you in ISS or give you OSS or going to send you up the hill. Alternative school. Are you with me? But you have a right to go to hell. But what you don't have a right to do is keep me from going to heaven. And that's why I chose, because I have a right to choose. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. But you got to choose today. You got to choose at 11:52 p.m., 2019. In 5 or 6 minutes, we're going into 2020 if God say the same. Now, you can sit in that seat, and you can say, yeah, this is good tradition, and yeah, I came here as a courtesy, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? That's a big gamble you're taking. Because if you die on your way home tonight, or you don't wake up tomorrow, this sermon that you heard tonight is going to haunt you for eternity. and every other sermon that you heard, every time Pastor Ricks is talking about salvation, salvation, salvation. For 30 years, he's talked about salvation, salvation, salvation. You're going to have 30 years of a clock playing in your head while you're burning in hell. I know that sounds harsh. Doesn't that sound harsh? But you don't have to go there. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Hell is a real place. I don't want you to go there. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified because we know that hell is a real place. By faith, we believe that the Word of God is true and doesn't lie. And if you hear under the sound of my voice in 2019, while we're still in 2019, we know that a lot of people, famous and non-famous people, died. Some people died today. On the last day of the year, God called their number because He already knew they were not going to make it to 2020. 2020 may be your last year on earth. Let me say that again. 2020 may be your last year here. Let's bow our heads. Father God,